Hey Trisha, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Long
It's almost
time no
Halloween
talk.
too. Speaking of Fridays,
I
remember
know,
that
right?
like new move that movie out that's like Freaky Friday or Freakier Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis? Anyway.
Well, you know what's interesting to that point? Friday, rather Halloween this year falls on a Friday.
It does. It
Yeah.
does. I know. My daughter doesn't actually have school that day, and so we get to go have fun, have trick-or-treating that night. And I guess she gets to stay up a little bit later because it's the
Nice. Nice.
weekend.
Speaking of fun, so I've recently been getting all these invites to all these various events, like for nonprofits and things like that. I mean, are you getting those? Is that I imagine that's common this year with year end.
Year-end, and then I think, we're getting the invitations because a lot of them tend to have them right after year-end because it's a big appeal. Typically, I think what happens with our charitable organizations, they get a lot of funding in at the end of the year, and so they have a big push again at the beginning of the year with their events to try to bring in more fundraising of money.
Well, and I guess, I mean, for our audience, right, from an audit perspective, financial reporting perspective, this special events revenue, if you will, the very fact that it's called special events revenue kind of implies that the treatment of it is different from typical revenue. I mean, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, when we talk about those special events, right, we can talk about dinners, we talk about the typical galas that happen. Sometimes there are auctions that occur, golf tournament for fundraising purposes, right? Those are all types of special events that could occur. And so when it comes to that revenue side, if you really think about it, if I purchase a ticket to a gala or to a dinner, I'm getting something in return. Right? I'm getting food, I'm getting entertainment. If I'm signing up for a charitable golf tournament, I'm getting cart fees, green fees, food. So those are all types of things that are actually what we would call like a fee for service, right? Where we're getting something commensurate in value. So that is an exchange transaction portion of it. But then at the same time, my ticket to the gala might cost me $300. And the $300, clearly I'm not getting that same amount of value in return, right? I'm not getting a $300 dinner. I'm not, my portion of cost of the entertainment isn't necessarily $300 in total. So then there's also that portion of it that becomes an element of a contribution as well. And so I think this is a lot of times, especially for organizations that aren't quite as sophisticated, or maybe it's an organization that, this is the first time they've ever held a special event. Accounting for those types of events can become a little bit cumbersome or difficult or unknown even. So again, we really have to think through what the bifurcation is of those revenue amounts. Because when we talk about the presentation of the financial statements, as you implied, yes, there's a special accounting treatment, but there's also a special presentation that's required for the financial statements as well. So though that's kind of where we need to kind of, I think, talk about a little bit today.
Yeah. Well, and I guess just to clarify, like the bifurcation element of it, from an auditor standpoint, are you primarily looking for reasonableness? Meaning like probably, let's say for the portion that is the exchange transaction falling under ASC 606, are you looking for something like a fairly reasonable estimate of the fair value of the what they got in exchange, right? And as long as that's reasonable, as long as there's support for like the actual cost of a dinner plate, things like that. Is that typically the direction you go?
I mean, absolutely. Because I mean, if you think about it, when you purchase a ticket to a gala, yeah, right, you've got a little receipt that says, $100 of this ticket proceeds is tax deductible. That's your contribution
That's
element.
true.
So how do they know that without knowing how many people are going to come? Because a lot of times people would think, oh, well, the entertainment is $5,000. We had 500 people. So, each person, it was, X amount of dollars for each person. But you're not going to know that until all the tickets are sold. So an estimate of fair value is completely reasonable from that standpoint, determining what that might look like. Let's say you're holding an event and you expect there to be 100 people there. You can base it off of that amount, right? And so that becomes really the value that you're going to put on the ticket of how much, what we would call that direct benefit to donor. That's what we call it in the US GAAP world, or generally accepted accounting principles in the United States, just from an acronym spell out standpoint. So from that perspective, that's really where the bifurcation comes in. How much is the exchange? e.g., how much is that person who's purchasing the ticket getting in return versus how much they're actually paying, and that amount above and beyond then becomes that contribution element. Again, part of the requirements is that you do have to let the donor know how much the contribution element is, because they have to know for their tax reporting purposes what they can deduct on their return personally. So that is an important part of the element. The IRS actually requires that. So that is a big portion or element, especially if you are an organization that is going to be doing this for the very first time, just be mindful of, because you do have to communicate that to the donor itself.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. And I think that also, it sounds like, helps you all as auditors as well, right? Because you could use that as support to presumably kind of say, well, whatever portion is tax deductible, the other portion likely is going to constitute the rest, which is presumably the exchange portion, right? So
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. When we look at that from a substantiation standpoint, we will look at what is being given in the receipt. I mean, it may just be a copy of the ticket or the email that tells us how much the contribution element is, and then we'll kind of say, okay, it cost you $300 from a fair value standpoint of what, you know, the above contribution element is. Let's say it's $100. Well, then we're saying that $200 is that, you know, exchange portion of it. And so we will want to substantiate that exchange portion to really determine if the contribution element is accurate and reasonable, I should say, really, because from our standpoint, the risk lies in that you are actually saying that there's too much in terms of a contribution, because again, these are tax deductible from an individual standpoint.
Gotcha. Okay. And assuming that the organization has gone through that analysis, does have a reasonable basis for their bifurcation. Beyond that, you already alluded to this, like the reporting. And you spoke to the direct benefit to donors. Is there one prescribed method of reporting the special rents revenue, or are there different options that an organization can have on their financial statements?
Great question. There are actually three different options that you can give. And I think more commonly we see the first option that I'll give to you, which is actually showing special events revenue net of that direct cost benefit to donors, for the revenue section, right? So typically you'll see special events net up in the revenue line item. That is going to be net of that cost of direct benefit to donors. And then option number two is that you can show your gross special event revenue in that revenue section, but then you do have to explicitly break out that cost of direct benefit to donors on your expense line items in the bottom portion of your statement of activities. So again, that statement of activities typically does present on a functional basis your expenses. So your program expenses, your fundraising, your management in general, or whatever you may call that supporting service line item, that will have to be an explicit line item of cost of direct benefit to donors on that portion under your expenses. And then likewise, you do have a third option. I can't actually say that I've ever seen it that way. And basically that third option bifurcates everything out for the most part, right? It will show what the contribution element is up in the revenue line item. It will show what the actual exchange portion is broken out separately. And then we'll also give where that cost of direct benefit to donors is, either net or in the expenses. One thing really to be mindful of too, is that if you do net those up in your revenue line item, that is a reconciling item on your statement of functional expenses. The statement of functional expenses does require all expenses to be presented under US GAAP. The only thing that is excluded are investment fees. So this is an expense item that would fall onto your statement of functional expenses. And there would actually be a reconciling item at the very bottom to bring that off, to kind of tie out what your functional expenses are on your statement of activities too.
Yeah. And that's a very good point. You mentioned the reconciling item, because I just the other day noticed that, and I was like, this is interesting, but it makes perfect sense, right? Because the statement of functional expenses is purely showing the expenses, but when it's netted in, you have to kind of break it out, so to speak.
Okay. Absolutely. And we typically see like the fundraising column as well, because it is a fundraising event at the end of the day.
Exactly. Okay. And as far as like, from the auditor perspective, for organizations to be better prepared if they do have special events for their year-end audit, what can they be doing proactively to make sure that they have all the substantiation they need for documenting their special events?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have your expenses, right? So those would be your invoices, your approvals, et cetera, how much you're spending in your food, your entertainment. But then really you have to come up and determine what your reasonableness is for that exchange portion of your special events, right? So you want to make sure that you have that documented and delineated in some kind of a calculation that shows your thought process and your methodology for how you're determining what that is. And then ultimately, how much is each ticket that you are selling, right? So again, we go back to that $300. You want to be able to show that and that those are, that's what you're actually selling it for. And then your contribution element is above and beyond. We also, from an auditor standpoint, again, I go back to what I said at the very beginning, want to ensure that you're also communicating that to the donor. So whomever is purchasing that ticket does know how much the contribution element is. That is a required element. It is something we do look at. While it's not necessary from a financial statement reporting standpoint, right, necessarily, like we can garner that information elsewhere. It is required by the IRS, and it is something from a best practice standpoint that we are always looking for.
Yeah. And I think also you're absolutely right. And I think another reminder for the audience, once that bifurcation has happened, once it's reasonably documented, there's the additional work of obviously going through the ASC 606 analysis, right? I mean, it has that, I think, the five-step model, right? So there's that work on just that piece of the bifurcation. So there's certainly work cut out for the organizations going through this, but it can, I think as we always try to make clear in these kind of podcasts, it doesn't have to be something you have to do on your own, right? Like I encourage all my clients mm-hmm. to the extent possible, work with your auditors during the year. Make sure right. everything is reasonable during the year. Don't just wait and then have surprises. So,
right.
Yeah.
I think the other thing just to mention too, because, you know, obviously our nonprofit clients and organizations that might be listening to this podcast also file a Form 990. The definition of a special event on Form 990 is different than under US GAAP. So we may call something a special event on a financial statement from the statement of activities standpoint, but what's filed and ultimately put on that in that special event line item on the Form 990, which goes back over to, I believe it's Schedule G, if I am correct, that has a different definition than what we might put on the financial statement. So just because we call it a special event on the financial statement doesn't mean that it's going to go on Schedule G and be on that special event line item. There are different rules. Our nonprofit tax team is well knowledgeable about that. So they are definitely the people to talk to if you have questions on that. But I just wanted to kind of highlight that as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. So I guess, I mean, me as the potential attendee of all these special events I get invited to, the key that I'm looking for is making sure that I get that letter saying this is the tax deductible. This is for my tax purposes,
right.
The portion that I can deduct. And I'm very glad you mentioned that because I think of the ones that I've gone to in the past, I'm not sure that I remember getting it. It may have just gotten lost in the mail. So that's a very, very good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times it's on the ticket too. So don't throw that ticket away.
That's true. Great. Any other final thoughts on special events revenue, any considerations, reporting, audit considerations?
No, but I do have a fun story. So my husband, when I got dressed this morning, for those of you just listening in today, I'm wearing a shirt that's a little bit what I would call frilly and vintage. My husband told me that I look like I'm about to go off for a treasure hunt. So if anybody wants to throw a special event that is pirate themed, I'm your girl. I'm ready to party and I'm ready to go.
It also works for next week on Friday, the Halloween. You look like a ghost too. So you're double purpose.
Yeah, there we go. Arr, matey.
Exactly. Cool. Well, thank you for your insights as always, Trisha. It's good to see you and tune in for the next episode.
All right. Thanks, Yev.
Thank you. Bye.